Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn, and in today's episode, I am super excited because I actually have the lovely Kendall Boyle joining me. Hi, Kendall.
Hey, guys.
And just so you all know, Kendall's joining me instead of Laura. You know, Laura's normally hanging with me, but today I'm going to be talking about Kendall. Specifically, we're going to be talking around, you know, what she does for fitness-related things and as well, but really focusing on kettlebell stuff because that's like... that is your thing, right? Like that's your go-to in terms of fitness and in terms of like transformation. Would you say that, Kendall?
Absolutely. Kettlebells are my jam.
All right. Perfect. So yeah, so I'm really excited because this is a topic that we haven't really covered. I don't know a lot about it and I'm really excited to learn more. But before we get started, just so everyone knows, Kendall Boyle is an RKC and kettlebell athletics certified coach. She's an NASM, which is the National Academy of Sports Medicine, personal trainer, and a woman passionate about women's health and fitness. And with her husband, Dan, she owns and trains at a women's studio in Charleston, South Carolina, and offers premier studio coaching online at fitwomensweekly.net. And she also believes that fitness isn't about being strong to burn calories. It's about being strong to be the most confident and healthy woman possible. And I honestly, I love that statement right there because I believe in it 100%. And I think we have to make that shift in our mind. We have to shift from the idea of it always just being about calories, like, and that calories are such a bad thing because it's just calories are just fuel, people. So it's like, so let's take a big shift away from that. But before we digress, because I could totally dive into that topic forever, why don't you tell us, Kendall, a little bit more about you and your background to start off? Because I think it's really important that our listeners know who you are and really how you sort of got into this.
Yeah, absolutely. First off, thank you, Amanda, so much for that intro and for having me on the show. I'm so excited to be here. As far as my background, gosh, where to even begin, to be honest? I have now been a personal trainer for 12 years, I want to say, since I was 22 and I'm 34. So yes, 12 years. I'll do the math. And I've always been, I mean, I started with the idea of women being my main passion. I went to school to be a doctor, but I wanted to be an OBGYN and fertility specialist. So women's mm-hmm. health has always been my major concern. While I was in college, I gained 40 pounds in a single semester.
Wow.
Yeah. One semester. And I came home to visit my parents and my dad looked at me and went, "Holy crap," to keep my language as nice as possible. "What happened to you?" That's not exactly, you know, what a young woman wants to hear.
Nobody wants to hear
that, right? Nobody wants to hear that.
Nobody, unless you're bulking up.
Exactly. And so being a pre-med student, I have pretty much was your traditional pre-med student, A-type personality. So when I heard that, I was like, well, you know what? I'll show him. So I was notorious for being an all or none person, and I still am. So mm-hmm. I went through the rest of my college battling eating disorders and exercise addiction. And then when I got out of college, I decided to do a figure competition, which for somebody that's been battling eating disorders isn't exactly the healthiest thing to do, right?
Not always like...
Right. I mean, it just kind of fuels and it gives you an excuse to kind of take those bad habits to the next level and makes it okay to mm-hmm. really be strict with your nutrition. Mm-hmm. So I did that and I just hated the process. My husband called me a she-devil. I was mean the whole time. I was losing hair. I lost my period. I didn't take good care of myself, but I did fall in love with strength training during that time. I was always kind of a cardio junkie trying to lose weight. So I went from being overweight to, when I walked out on stage, I was 103 pounds.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm almost 5'6", so that's pretty big difference.
That's right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's really intense.
And it was also this time I was working as a medical assistant for a breast center while I studied for my MCATs, and I just wasn't happy with it. I wanted to do something to help women still, but I didn't enjoy the burden of telling women my age that they had breast cancer. It was just something I couldn't handle anymore. I came home sad every day from what I did.
Right.
So I kind of started brainstorming, and I was like, you know what? I've known what to do. This is bullcrap what women are faced with. They need to learn the true way of exercise. So I decided to start learning more. I immersed myself into the environment. I became a personal trainer, and I started my online studio, or my in-person studio, and that's kind of been where it's gone ever since. And then from there, we started Fit Women's Weekly, which was another story in itself. You know, I wanted to really share to women. I know that you can relate to this, Amanda. People think like they have to have 45 minutes or 60 minutes to exercise.
Oh my gosh.
If they don't have that, they don't do it, right? It's their excuse. Right. I don't have 45 minutes, so I'm just not going to work out.
Oh my gosh. I mean, we preach about this all the time on our podcast and our emails and to all of our members, because like I tell them, I'm like, legit, some days I have 5 minute intervals.
Exactly.
Workouts in, and I just fit it in. Like I'll do like, I'll literally do a wall sit for a minute, and then I'll just do like random stuff throughout the day because something is better than nothing.
Exactly.
And I also find the idea, I think that the idea of like an hour workout comes from like a facilities standpoint, because they had to pay trainers to work for an hour period, like by the hour. And so that's why workouts have always been traditionally an hour. But technically, I mean, my workouts are no more than 30 minutes per day max.
Yep. And no, if it goes beyond that, then I'm like, dang, I really killed it today. You know, like that's a weird thing. So yeah. Try to stress. And that was my passion behind building Fit Women's Weekly and designing my own fitness routine, because I was stuck in that rut for a long time. And then when I realized like, okay, if I skip three workouts because I don't have time, then it's really easy to skip another three workouts, as opposed to just like, if I have 5 minutes, I can work out for 5 minutes. And then I'm creating that habit for life for my own self. And then I started sharing that. And I'm like, you know what, we're onto something. And that's been the coolest thing to try to teach people and be successful with, and to see people just realize like, okay, I can do just a little something every day, and I'm building a fitness habit that's going to change my body. So that's kind of my backstory. And I've become, you know, kettlebells has been my passion for about the past 6 years. My husband actually gave them to me for a birthday present. I was like, dang it, I didn't want these. Like, this is just another fitness that I did. I felt so bad. He gave them to me, and I was like, that's cool. That's not what a woman wants. Like, where's my diamond? Like, my birthday's in April. It's my birthstone is diamond. I'm like, come on now, buddy. I thought that kettlebells were just going to be a fad. But he was like, just be patient. They look really cool. So he made me watch all these YouTube videos, because back then they weren't really, there weren't facilities and stuff to learn proper form. We had to really teach ourselves.
Right.
And after the first workout was hard, because I was like, I don't like being bad at stuff. I'm one of those people that are very competitive and like to be good from the get-go.
Yeah.
But then I enjoyed the challenge and I embraced it, and I started to see my body really change and take on a new physique. And that's kind of fueled it and gotten us to where we are now. So yeah, that's a little bit, that's a lot about me. So sorry if that's
That's all fantastic. And I mean, you already sort of answered my question. My next question was going to be what your why was for creating Fit Women's Weekly. But I think you really answered that in the sense of it was really just about helping show women that it doesn't have to be the traditional way, and it doesn't have to be the hour workouts. And,
exactly.
And it's like, it's forming the habit and forming the foundation, which is what's going to get you results. It's the consistency.
Exactly.
And, you know, and for anyone that's listening to, like, you know, when I talk about these 5 minute workouts here and there and stuff, like, yeah, you might be thinking like, oh, what, how's 5 minutes going to transform my body? But I'm telling you, 5 minutes is not just when you start taking away from the focus on just how it's going to transform your body. And you start thinking about it from a holistic standpoint, 5 minutes of working will change your mood. It'll change your mindset. You'll have endorphins. You will have more energy. Like literally, that's why I do it, because some days I've got a little one at home and it's like, I'm super tired and I'm like, okay, I just got to do this, because I know I'm going to stay awake for the next like 6 hours with her. So it like helps me to get energy to like still just be able to tackle the rest of my day. So anyone listening, like, don't just focus on the physical side. The physical side will happen with the consistency. Focus on all the other benefits too.
Yeah. And the intensity part too. That's really important.
Yeah.
The training. Like, if you're only going to be able to fit in a 5 or 10 minute workout, make it really count. Like, most of our workouts actually at Fit Women's Weekly are based on 10 minute long programs, but they're hard. I mean, there are times when I can only film one, maybe two max.
Yeah.
And then sweating and killing it on the ground.
Yeah.
And part of that's so helpful because, you know, you don't want to push yourself to that level, but if somebody else designs it for you, then you're like, okay, this is hard and I can do this. But if you do it, you're going to create a workout that's like the exercises that you like to do, the exercises that you're good at, versus like right now, I've hired my husband to be my own personal trainer for that same reason. Cause he's like, you're kind of in a plateau because you just keep doing the same moves you like to do. I'm like, what's wrong with that?
No, and you're absolutely right. It's funny because some people ask me why I hire trainers as well, or why I do different programs. And I'm like, for that exact reason. Because if I'm just designing it for myself, I'll do the stuff I like. I'll avoid the stuff I don't like. It's the same thing with my yoga practice. I don't practice yoga at home because I always avoid my sun salutations when I'm at home. I'll only do like 3 instead of the 10 that I'm supposed to do, you know?
And because then you have a little one running around, or you remember you have, you know, you need to go back to do something at the computer, or there's stuff going on at home.
Yeah, no, definitely. And so you were talking a little bit about kettlebells, but you know, why don't you tell me, like, because I don't know a lot about kettlebells, and I'm being super sincere with everyone listening. Like, I've only used them like a couple times, but like random, like I've never actually done any type of programming with them. So why don't you tell me a bit more, and like, you know, what is it about them that you love? And then how do they differ from regular strength training? Cause this is a thing I've never understood. Like, you know, you see people doing kettlebell swings, but then I know that like I have programs that tell me to do that movement, but using weights. But what's the difference, or like clean and presses and stuff like that, but using a kettlebell, how does it differ from using a weight versus using the kettlebell?
Yeah. So that's a great question. And I think that a lot of people, kettlebells are still kind of new and it's intimidating to people, but it definitely is kind of has its own cult following, you know, just like Olympic lifting, people like CrossFit, people like kettlebell training, just a different kind of focus.
Of course.
And most gyms have them, but people are like, I don't know where to even begin to use that, because there's not a lot of coaches out there that truly are trained and know how to safely teach people how to do them. So they kind of just collect dust in a lot of gyms still. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I love about kettlebells, when I learned more about it and I started to get certified and really study the art of it, is the background story. So kettlebells actually started because it was a weighing system in Russia for bakers to weigh their bread at the market to like level out. So if people wanted 5 pounds of bread, they put a 5 pound kettlebell out and balance it up. But then the bakers started to see like, ooh, women were getting turned on by them playing with these heavy weights. I swear this is a story. This is hilarious.
This is so, a very
right. And so they started to just play around with them to show off their skill level and their strength. Well, then Russian army started seeing this happen and started seeing how strong like bakers were, you know, like people out there were like, what's wrong with this picture? People are stronger than our like black berets or whatever they're called in Russia. So they started training, and that became their way of training their army. So during World War II, American armies noticed how strong and fit they were. And so we actually started implementing them to our services as well. There's some really cool pictures, but when you learn that story, you're like, that's a really, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't have that kind of story about a dumbbell. I don't know. I've always thought that was really, really cool. So
no, it's a very like, it's a very unique way of like, of it being, you know, identified as like something like, oh wait, the bakers are getting ripped from like doing the weighing of their bread.
Right. Like literally it was just a weighing mechanism that turned into a form of exercise.
Which totally makes sense, because they look like weights, like in that sense. Like I know they're weights, they're kettlebells, but they actually look like something you would use on like a scale system.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. So that you could like hook it to one side of a scale. So that kind of brings it home, the history, if anyone else is a history buff like I am. So what makes it different? Why are they so much better than, or not better, but different than a dumbbell? Mm. So a couple of different reasons. One, they're what's called a ballistic movement. So because of the handle, the way that it's formed, you can swing it, you can throw it. There's parts in time where you can actually let it go, you know, kind of like,
I've seen people do like flips and stuff with it. Yeah,
exactly. And so those are ballistic movements, which require a lot of stabilizer muscles. And they actually recruit, don't quote me on this, I should have probably looked it up, but over, I think, 40% more ab recruitment muscles than most other weights.
Cool.
So not only are you using the muscles to actually move the weight, but you're using a whole bunch of other muscles just to help stabilize it. Mm-hmm. That same idea is also with the center of gravity. Like if you're really strong, you can get a dumbbell or a barbell and you can put your finger in the middle and balance it like a basketball. Like if your finger is made of steel, right?
Right.
With a kettlebell, it's not like that. You can't pinpoint one particular part that is the center. You can't balance that kettlebell at any point on your fingertip. And because of that, you're having to recruit, again, more muscle fibers. So you're actually using a lot more muscle mass than you would with those other types. And that's why a lot of people, like, I always get a laugh at new clients when I'm like, all right, you guys, we're going to go do racked squats with your kettlebell, which means holding it in one arm. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, well, with the dumbbell, I can do, I don't know, 50 pound or something like that. I'm like, all right, well, let's just start with the blue kettlebell, which is 26 pounds. Right. And they laugh at me like, how dare you? And then when they go to do it, And they're like, oh my gosh, I'm already burnt out from it. So yeah. It really does burn those muscles. And the other, like, that's what makes it so great too. You can use less weight, but still build strength. And so that's also from a paying point of view, it's a lot cheaper, you know, stuff. Weights are sold by how much they weigh.
Right.
So it's a lot easier to purchase a lighter kettlebell than some really heavy double dumbbells.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Yeah, no, see, I just never really understood the difference. So that's really cool. So thank you for that. Cause it makes sense to me now, but I was always like, well, what's the difference if I'm doing that same movement and I'm just using a dumbbell? So now I totally get it.
Yeah. And you can create so many different forms and variations of the same exercise. Like you can do squats, holding it in your right arm, squats, doing it in your left arm. You can do it squats in a racked position or holding it with two hands in the center. You can do it with an overhead position. There's so many ways that you can use one weight that you aren't often able to do with other types of training tools.
Right. No, for sure. And now if someone is listening now, or like me, let's say me, because now I'm curious, if I'm interested to get started with kettlebell training, what are your top tips for me to get going? Like, what would you say would be the top things that I need to start doing? Or if there's anything in particular that you need to do, like, I don't know if the type of, you know, like, for example, like when you're training for a marathon, you have like all these things that you're starting to do in order to get yourself built up to that point. Is it the same with kettlebell training, would you say?
Right. As far as like pre stuff to get yourself set and ready to go, you don't really need anything. Anybody can use weights or kettlebells. We have clients at our studio that are 60 years old that can do the same moves that I can do. There's no prep work, but I do 100% say, do not just go to YouTube and Google how to do a kettlebell swing. Because even like I mentioned earlier, just because they're personal trainers doesn't mean that they are certified and know how to use these weights. A lot of personal trainers are grabbing stuff. In fact, when I first started getting into them, my husband and I went and stayed at a hotel in Florida and they had kettlebells there. And we're like, awesome. And I started to do the proper swing of a kettlebell. And the trainer came over to me and was like, man, you're doing this wrong. And was like trying to get me to like squat and swing and stuff. And I'm like, oh, Lord have mercy. Like, no. So definitely make sure to seek out help. Don't try to train yourself. So either find someone that's RKC certified or Strong First certified. Those are kind of the two main popular ones that are definitely legit. Either find somebody at home in a studio that can help you, or if you're going to do it online, find someone online that meets those qualifications. So like at Fit Women's Weekly, I actually have a kettlebell clinic to walk you through all the main fundamental moves to help progress you safely so that you're not just going to grab a weight, fling it, and then you've pulled your back out and can't walk for a month.
Yeah, because I was going to say with kettlebells, would you say, like, I mean, with any kind of training, injury can happen at any given time, of course. If you're not doing it correctly, if you have bad form, that's the biggest risk, right? The biggest concern. But would you say with kettlebell training that there's like a little bit more of a risk factor just because a lot of the movements are very ballistic?
To be perfectly honest, no. I think if anything, it actually helps more because it's going, because of these particular movements, you're working on mobility at the same time. Mm-hmm. So as long as you have somebody that knows what they're doing, then the chances of actually being injured are pretty slim.
Well, no, sorry. What I meant though was if you were doing these movements without proper, like if you were going to the YouTube, it might be because they're more ballistic, you might actually injure yourself or have the chance of injuring yourself a little bit more.
For sure. Oh yeah.
So, okay. So definitely number one, follow, either get a trainer or follow a program that is through the certifications in order to make sure that you're actually getting the right proper form and techniques.
Exactly.
Got it.
Number two, make sure to get a good kettlebell. You could go to Target and get those kind that are beautifully covered for women where they're, you know, that rubber covering. But you're going to outgrow that really fast. Like a 5-pound kettlebell is not going to do anything. A lot of people are like, oh, I went and bought a 5-pound kettlebell. I'm ready to start swings. And what I try to stress to people is a lot of times if you try to go too light, you're actually also setting yourself up for injury because you're just able to muscle it up. You're not actually learning the move. You can just, you know, fling it however you want. So a lot of times going too light is an issue as well. You want to make sure that you're getting a weight that's going to challenge you enough. And so for most people, most ladies, when you're first learning to swing, you're going to start up a little bit heavier than you probably think with like a 26 or 30-pound kettlebell.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And I would think that that would make sense too, though, because the kettlebell swing, if that's like, you know, because that's one of the standard moves, right?
That's not one of the first moves that you're going to learn. Yeah.
Yeah. And with that move, you know, I think it's mostly just like glutes. Is it not like your posterior chain and your glutes?
You got it. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are big muscle groups. Those are big, strong muscles. So they can definitely handle more than a 5-pound.
More than the 5-pound.
Majority. majority of people.
Exactly. And I have absolutely no ties to this company, but we get all of ours from Rogue Fitness. Mm-hmm. And we love them. They're kind of they're good price. They're not crazy expensive. The quality is amazing. And their shipping, because, you know, it does cost money to ship a 50-pound weight, isn't as bad as you think it is. I just feel bad for our UPS guy. I'm always like, why did you deliver? Because we live on the second story of a condo. And I always feel
like, leave it in the main lobby.
I know. I'm like, you could have just come up to get us. We would have walked down and gotten them. They're like, it's all right. You'd be surprised with the stuff we have to carry up.
Well, maybe you're just healthy. Maybe it's like, this workout for the day.
Exactly. Right.
No. So Kendall, what would you say then for a total body workout? Because we were talking earlier about, like, you know, trying to fit in a workout in a short period of time. Like, if someone is trying to get a workout in, what would you say, or if you only have a very short window, what would you say are your top five go-to movements?
Okay.
You would say, and for anyone listening, there is going to be links on the blog post. So if you don't understand what she's saying, make sure that you definitely check the blog post at fitchicksacademy.com. That way there you can check out the videos and you can follow along.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, my top five moves, and I've been putting a lot of thought into this because there's a lot of really good moves.
For sure.
Obviously the kettlebell swing. We've been talking about it. You really can't do anything without the swing and kettlebells. If you're going to learn them, you're going to learn the hip hinge, which is the basis for the swing, but that's also going to be the basis for learning new moves. Mm-hmm. Once you master the swing, you're going to be able to pretty much master any other movement that's included. And also the swing incorporates, like you said, all those big muscle groups, but it gets your heart rate fired up.
Yeah.
So it's insane. I think the math is something like, if you do 300 swings, it burns something like 500 calories. I think somebody has done studies on this.
Oh, which, my goodness.
I know that sounds like a lot of swings, but you can pretty much knock out 300 within 10 minutes for sure.
Yeah. So
that is an awesome move to do. Another great one that's going to be great not only for a workout, but also just for your body in general, and I know that you'll appreciate this with the yoga talk, is holding a kettlebell at your chest, holding each handle at one side with your hands, mm-hmm. and sitting in a nice deep squat, kind of like you're a toddler.
Oh, yes.
Really getting into that squat position, and that kettlebell helps counterbalance you, so it actually makes that position a little bit easier because, you know, we sit down all day, and for most people, that should be a move we can all do, but we can't.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that movement's hard for a lot of people because they're so tight in their hip joints and in the lower back.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we call it
the hips and the ankles and everything. It's a great, great move to do.
Yeah. My yoga teacher, when we were doing, when I was learning yoga, he used to call that the Bangkok bus stop. Because he said, it's like, you can just sit like that. Once you get comfortable in it, you can sit if you're waiting for the bus anywhere or whatever, you just hang out.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody last week on my podcast and she recommended that you should sit like that for 10 minutes a day. And I was like, oof,
it's,
I don't know,
really,
about that. I'll work on it.
It's also really good for digestion. It's really good if you have cramps or anything like that too. But yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Totally good move. So I love that. I love that recommendation for sure.
Oh, good. Okay. Move number three is a move called halos.
Mm-hmm.
So a halo is basically, it is exactly like it sounds like. You're making a halo with the kettlebell. So you'd hold the kettlebell with both hands in front of you, and then you would rotate it with your elbow going up towards the sky around your head. If that makes sense. And we'll make sure to have that video too. But this is a fantastic move, not only for your core, but really for shoulder mobility. Because again, like, it's awesome to get strong and it's awesome to burn calories. But if you're not working on your mobility, you're not going to get very far in life. So this particular move helps all three of those.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. And I've actually tried halos again, but not with kettlebells. I've tried them with just weights, holding one dumbbell. I've tried it that way, just because I've seen it in training programs that I've been a part of. And I don't think I do it right. So I'm going to have to check your video for sure.
Okay. Yeah. And feel free, if you ever like go to do it again for a program, shoot a little video, send it my way, and I'm happy to look at it.
So I'm like, I never really feel the benefits of it. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And maybe, yeah. Definitely. Well, when I shoot you the video, I'd love to hear your feedback and be like, yes, I was doing it right, or no, now I see what's going on.
I'm
going to
say I'm doing it wrong, but I'll definitely check out the video. So what would be your fourth and fifth go-to moves?
Yeah, my fourth and fifth, number four would be snatches. Mm-hmm. So taking the kettlebell from the ground all the way up to the sky. I try to tell clients, it's like it's on an elevator and you're going from ground all the way up to the penthouse. and it is a powerful move. It works every single big muscle in your body and a lot of the smaller ones. It's going to work on your grip form and overall make you a better athlete.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds like an awesome move.
That is an awesome move. And then last but not least, sounds simple enough, but I challenge anybody to do this for a minute hold, would be rack holds.
Okay. What is that?
Yeah. So do you know what a rack, holding the kettlebell in rack position means?
It means up by your shoulder. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're basically kind of like holding the top of a bicep curl. Mm-hmm. You want your hand right in front of your shoulder and your wrist nice and straight. So that's kind of the biggest issue we see when people are first getting started is bending their wrist backwards.
Right.
You want to make sure that wrist stays nice and straight. You're holding that kettlebell right in front of your shoulder. And in order to do that, you've got to squeeze your glutes. You've got to ground yourself into the floor. You've got to squeeze your core with everything that you have. And your biceps are going to be on fire. So it's an amazing move. And if you just do it for 30 seconds per side, for like three rounds, you're going to feel the benefit immediately.
Cool. And do you recommend always doing one side versus and then the other? Or do you, with kettlebell training, do you often do both sides at the same time?
Often both sides at the same time. It just depends on what the training is because it's both going to offer. Like if I'm doing a single rack, so only one, I'm going to go really heavy. And if I'm going to try to do double kettlebells, I'm going to have to go down in my weight, right? Because that's just a lot of weight on a person.
Yeah.
But you're still going to definitely feel it. So it just kind of depends on what my programming is that day.
Cool. Awesome. No, thanks so much. And I'm really excited to see these videos and check out some training programs around this now, because now I'm really intrigued about how I can, I mean, I'm someone who loves to try new things. And I think
awesome.
the idea of like how this can transform your body and, you know, getting your core more engaged and not having to focus on just doing, you know, ab exercises. Cause I know everyone listening right now, like, we always focus on like when we think of core, we're like, oh, I got to do crunches and stuff. But
exactly.
Really and truly, you don't have to. Like you can get like a nice tight core and really strong core from like not doing a single crunch. So we got to learn how to do it differently. What's that?
I used to be, like I said, runner, everything that I did. And then once I got into weightlifting and then especially kettlebells are what took my body from just being like lean and skinny, I would say.
Yeah.
To being like, oh, look, I've got some shoulder caps. Oh, look, I actually have stomach definition where I can see, I wouldn't say a six pack, but we'll go with a four. How about that? And those are just the side benefits. Like when you're swinging heavy stuff, like that's what everybody tells me is like, it's just fun. And you feel like a bad, you know what, when it's all over. Yeah, it's cool. Do you have access to kettlebells?
I do. Yeah. I do have access to it. I just never have used them.
Okay. We got you covered. You got to try out the program.
I am. No, I'm definitely going to do it now. Cause now, like I said, I just never, because for me personally, when I don't understand the benefits behind it, I don't do something. But now that I understand the benefits and I understand the differences, I'm intrigued by it. Right.
Exactly. So it's, and I am the exact same way. Like you're going to have to argue your point before I'm like, okay, I'll give this a shot.
Yeah. Just cause I've got my yoga training and I've got my other types of HIIT training and things like that, that I do. So it's like when you're kind of, but I do switch up my main routines every year. So yeah. So very cool. So what would you say, Kendall, like in terms of, cause I know kettlebell training is definitely your jam, but other than kettlebell training, what other forms of training do you recommend for your clients and why, if any?
Absolutely. We incorporate all forms of training when I design things for clients. I mean, even the moves like calisthenic moves, so body weight exercises, I'm a big fan. If you can't move your body into a proper push-up position or, you know, learning to do pull-ups, if you can't move your own body, then we don't need to be lifting really heavy weights yet, right? I mean, kind of learn the proprioception of your own body. So I'm a huge component of just body weight exercises and challenging yourself. My husband and I actually, for our own workouts, we do a lot of pirouette training.
Okay.
Which,
what is that?
So pirouettes are two small bars that are on the ground. They're about a foot off the ground each.
Okay.
Like L hole, like sits where you're push yourself up off the ground, like you're doing a dip, like the top of a dip.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or then you kind of start playing around to bring your knees into your chest and flipping over. The really fancy people can do like handstands and stuff. I'm not that fancy. My husband's getting there. But those kind of body weight moves that are really, really important for building strength. I love barbell work, believe it or not. Even though I am all about kettlebells, I do a lot of barbell work. I do a lot of dumbbell work just in order, like you said, to challenge your body in different ways. It's just like you try different programs from time to time. I like to incorporate all these different elements into my own training and my clients to mix it up and to make it fun. Because if you're not having fun or challenging your body, you're not going to get results. So definitely putting all those kind of elements in there. And then I love a sled.
Yeah.
I don't know if you do sled pushes, but yes. I'm so bad at them, but I need to do them. So I do them.
I love them because they make me feel so powerful. I find right? like whenever I do them, I just feel, yeah, like you just feel like when you finish it, you're like, whoa, that was like super intense. And like, I did that. I don't know why. It's just, it's such a huge accomplishment for some reason for me when I do.
No, I agree. And then I guess the other thing that I really stress is what we called living your fitness. So I'm actually taking a group of 12 women on Wednesday up to the mountains here in South Carolina to do a whole weekend of hiking and exploring because it's really cool. Yeah, and they're all my clients, but it's so cool because it's like, well, that's great that you're building this fitness and you're building this strength, but what good is it if you don't ever use it? So it's like, let's utilize that strength and the enjoyment that you get from being fit and live it. Like, go do cool things. So whether that's trail races or obstacle course races or just going on hikes with your friends, that's what I just love to do and share with other people.
Cool. So taking, I guess, like really, you know, taking the focus away from it, just being the aesthetic side of it and making sure that people understand it's more just about like using your body as like a vehicle for like your
exactly.
life.
Exactly. Yeah, very exactly. Cool. Like it's cool to lose 20 pounds and to be able to lift or to be able to even push this. Like I had 500 pounds on the sled the other day, to be able to push 500 pounds. But what, I mean, aside from me being able to be on this podcast and be like, yeah, guys, I just pushed 500 pounds.
Yeah.
That doesn't really better my life. But then to be able to go out and hike 3 days in a row of, you know, 10 plus miles each day, that's something to be proud of.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And what do you say to clients that are coming to you, like, that maybe are like how you were in the beginning, which is, you know, being a cardio junkie, like someone who, because I know that I noticed that when you were talking about the different forms of training, you were talking about barbells and weightlifting and strength training and those kinds of, but you didn't mention anything about cardio. So do you incorporate cardio or do you use the strength training and the like movements as the cardiovascular, or do you just some type of cardio on top of their training?
Both. So I definitely do more Metcon style workouts for myself and my clients. So you know, like, here's the workout, go as hard as you can. Let's see what happens. I love that style.
Yeah.
I used to be the cardio person that was like, I would go run because running 6 miles means I burn roughly 600 calories.
Yeah.
Now in the past 5 years, I've been able to transform that idea. And now running to me is a way to benefit my other forms of training, to build up my endurance, to do better with those Metcons. I'm also a big race. I love doing obstacle course races. And like I said, trail runs. Mm-hmm. But more than anything, I run and get my cardio in because it feels good on me mentally. And that's what I try to tell people. Like a lot of my clients have this idea that exercise has, you have to be able to go run 3 miles. If you don't like running 3 miles, you don't have to go run 3 miles.
Yeah.
That's okay. There are other forms of fitness. But if you are having a stressed out day and running 3 miles is going to make you feel good, then go run those 3 miles. But don't do it just because it's going to burn 300 calories.
Yeah. No, and that's a very solid point because I think to that point, like I tell people all the time, just find something you actually enjoy.
Exactly. That's something that you can continue doing.
Yeah. Because if not, if you have to wake up every day and go work out and you go for that run or you go do strength training and the whole time you're doing it, you're like just so miserable.
The chance of it. You're not going to keep doing it.
That's just it. The chances of you continuing and the chances of it becoming part of your life is like almost minimal, or it will become part of your life, but it'll become this part that you resent. And that's the last thing you want. You want this to be like some kind of, you want to bring joy to your own life. So definitely find something that connects to you.
Yeah. I think, who was it? I think it was Jason Brown, who was one of my kettlebell coaches back in the day.
Yeah.
Talking about fitness. And he was like, you know, we get into this society right now where, especially, I mean, I love CrossFit. I watch CrossFit. I do some CrossFit workouts. I don't have anything against them, but they do promote where every workout is supposed to be gung-ho, you know, balls to the wall, everything that you have.
Yeah.
And then you're on your back for 3 days after. And he made the point that exercise is supposed to improve your life. And if you are having to take off 4 days of recovery time then it's kind of time to sit back and look over things and be like, okay, what do I need to change here?
Yeah, you definitely don't want to. I mean, if you're getting muscle strain instead of just like some sort of like DOMS, like, I mean, if you're having any kind of pain that's lasting more than like a day or two, that's just like usually caused by like either a change in your weight or a change in the reps or a change in like the style of program that you're doing, which is common. But if it's like something that's actually causing muscle strain, you might want to definitely take a step back.
Exactly.
Reevaluate.
No, well, just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
I know that, because I'm not used to necessarily being on this side of the podcast screen, but I would love to know from you, what's your typical, what kind of exercise routine do you go by?
So my typical, my go-tos is definitely my yoga practice. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been training and doing yoga since I was 15. So yoga is definitely like a big part of my life. But then I also do a lot of HIIT workouts. So I do a lot of Tabata style training. I do a lot of it with weights because a lot of times people think Tabata, whenever they think Tabata, they think it's like just cardiovascular. But I do it usually with weights, a lot of strength training moves, and that's Metcon style training. So okay. I do that because I'm very short on time. So right. Like I said, my workouts, they never last more than 30 minutes. And that's on purpose. That's designed by purpose so that I just am like, get in, work as hard as I possibly can and move on. Except for my yoga. Obviously my yoga practice is usually, it's about an hour to an hour and a half, depending on the practice.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So it really depends. I don't usually have an hour and a half though anymore. Not with a little one at home.
I'm so sure.
Yeah. So my yoga practice has changed a little bit too. I just throw some headstands in here and there and it's, you know, some sun salutations when I can, and that's about it.
Yeah. I keep saying I need to get better at yoga, and I do. We even do it at our studio and I still don't go. I need to do it sometime.
So see, this is the problem I think with, not the problem, this is the situation I think with so many people that do a lot of strength training, is that they love this one discipline, but then they avoid the other, which is like with yoga and stretching and mobility and all of that. It's so important to have the balance of the two. And, right. And I'm not saying that it's a negative, or I'm not talking poorly to anyone who's listening, who's like, oh, I don't do yoga. I'm not saying you have to do yoga, but I think having a balance of the two. So I like to try to do like some sort of mobility work, usually about 3 to 5 days a week. And then I do my HIIT training usually 5 to 6 days a week.
Okay.
So I add my mobility stuff is like on top of my actual workouts.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about what I do as well. Just not, I aim for like 2 to 3 days.
Yeah. That's okay. I know people, like how many people right now, I mean, people listening right now, you're probably like raising your hand. If I was like, do you skip your stretches every time you finish your workout? You just want to get out of the gym and leave. And it's probably like 9 out of 10 people.
Like warm up for a workout.
Yeah. Do you actually do a warm up? Anyone raising their hand? Yeah. So it's like, it's so common, but it's just one of those things that like, not even from an injury perspective, but also just for like mobility and for longevity for your muscles and your joints and everything else is so key.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I agree.
Now, how would you say, just to kind of wrap it up, I'm curious, like how would you say fitness has changed your life overall? Like I know that you told us about your story, your personal story at the beginning, but I'm just curious to know, like, what would you say it's changed in your life completely? And what would be the one thing, if aside from everything else we talked about today, what would be the one thing you really want our listeners to take away from this conversation today and how it can help them live their best life?
Man. Okay. So both
loaded question. Yeah.
I would say the number one thing that it has done to my life, it's changed the path. I mean, I grew up in a family, I was the first person to go to college. So that was a big deal in itself, but I was raised where you go to school, you get a job, you raise a family, you work for somebody else.
Right.
Fitness and my passion for it was what made me realize I don't have to live that life. You know, I can create a life based on my passion, and that was fitness. So because of my own transformation and everything that I have learned and my own personal strength, I realized that I was strong enough to be like, you know what, I'm going to walk away from the normal, what I've been told is the right way to live. And I'm going to create my own life, and I'm going to start these businesses, and I'm going to see what happens. So that by far is probably the thing that fitness has changed completely for me in terms of my life and my confidence, because never 15 years ago would I have been able to do that. Mm-hmm. And then as far as what do I want you guys listening to take away? And I think that, Amanda, you would agree on this. Do something every day, no matter how big or how small it is, to not only better your body, but to better yourself in general. I truly believe, like, when people are like, what's the secret to life? It's to be the best person inside and out that you can be. So whether that's doing just 10 pushups a day or a 5-minute workout or 10 minutes of meditation or yoga, do something every single day to improve yourself.
Yes, I agree 1,000%. I love that.
If that includes grabbing kettlebells, then grab some kettlebells and knock out some swings too. Yeah.
And make sure that you actually check out some proper certified trainers or coaches or videos in order to do that though. That's awesome. Well, Kendall, thank you so much for your time today. Honestly, it was a true pleasure. I'm so excited. I'm really excited to also actually check out kettlebells now. And like, now that I know, like I said, now that I know the history behind it and I know the actual reason behind it and the how and the why, I'm like sold. Like, I'm like, okay, I got to do this now. I got to check it out. And I've actually got to incorporate this into my life. So
that makes me happy.
So thank you for the inspiration. All right. And for everyone listening, thank you so much for listening. And as always, if you're interested to check us out, you can check us out at fitchicksacademy.com. If you want to learn more about us, you can check out the blog post there on fitchicksacademy.com, which is also where the video links will be for those exercises that we were talking about today. And then you can also check out our programs. We have our upcoming fitness and nutrition expert certification program, as well as our holistic nutrition weight loss expert certifications. So check them out. And then of course, reach us on social media at Fit Chicks Academy. And any questions, comments, concerns, or if you want to share any topics that you would like covered, email us info@fitchicks.ca. And Kendall, why don't you share with us quickly, for anyone interested in learning more, I know that your information's in the blog post, but how can they reach you? How can they find you?
Yeah, so you can head over to fitwomensweekly.net, and all of my programs are over and are located over there. And you can also get started with our free reset program. But you can also connect with me over at Instagram at Trainer Kendall, and I'm posting on there all the time. And that'll have the links and everything to the website as well.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, thank you again, Kendall. It was honestly a pleasure. And thank you all for listening. And we'll chat again soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.